Welcome through the Word. Melanie Hurlbut here, and I will be your guide for Psalm 141, the fourth in a cluster of eight Davidic Psalms that close Book 5 of the Psalter. In these final Davidic Psalms, the exiles return their gaze to Yahweh as sovereign Lord, King over all the earth. Babylon's conquest has caused many Jews to despair. Didn't it mean Babylon's God was stronger than Yahweh? In Psalm 137, we heard their emotional torment when their captors mocked their songs of worship. But then, suddenly everything had changed. The Persians defeated Babylon and allowed the Jews to return to their land. Psalm 126 spoke of their dream-filled laughter when they learned of Yahweh's remarkable deliverance. I imagine the Jews singing and dancing in the streets, much like they did when World War II finally came to an end. Stop and think with me for a minute what the exile had taught them. Jeremiah had told them God would restore them again after 70 years because of his good plans for Israel. Now they're tasting the reality of God's goodness towards them. They've learned that Yahweh keeps his covenant. He intends their good and the good of the whole world. And even more incredibly, Isaiah had named Cyrus as Israel's deliverer from Babylon 150 years before the Persian king signed his edict allowing the captives to return home. Listen, as I read from Isaiah 44, and imagine yourself a Jew in Babylon, just after hearing Cyrus's proclamation. This is what the Lord says, Israel's king and redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let them foretell what will come. You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. Do you see what's happened? Their grief is shattered. The idols of the world are brought low. And Yahweh has proven himself Lord over history, Lord over the nations, Lord over Israel. They've learned what it means that the Lord their God, the Lord, is one. Monotheism, that Yahweh alone is God, has finally taken root in Israel. Incredible. And the fulfillment of these remarkable promises function like a down payment, a promissory note from God. The returned exiles now have incredible confidence that Yahweh will keep all his covenant promises, including those that for them are still far off, like God's promises to bring the Messiah, to reunite the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel, to rule all nations, and to send his Spirit to indwell their new temple. They've learned that some promises are so big, they require the sustained faithfulness of Israel's people through the generations to see them fulfilled. The exile and their remarkable deliverance have taught them so much. But rebuilding their nation will not prove easy while they wait for these longer-range promises to be fulfilled. The greatest battle of all will be for the Jews themselves to remain loyal to Yahweh. And so we come to Psalm 141, as the Jews take up David's prayer for their contested but hope-filled times. Verse 1. I call to you, Lord. Come quickly to me. Hear me when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. David's prayer during his wilderness years has now become a corporate prayer for the whole nation. Their prayers are the incense, and all creation is God's temple. Their lifting of hands in surrender, faith, and trust in the Lord is their sacrificial offering. The temple and the temple cult cannot save them. They need their faith and hope set firmly in the Lord. Verse 3. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil so that I take part in wicked deeds along with those who are evildoers, Do not let me eat their delicacies. With renewed confidence in God's steadfast love has also come a new awareness of their true enemy. What is it? The waywardness of their own hearts. Notice their prayers. Set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil. Do not let me eat their delicacies. Why? Because words are powerful. Words set our hearts on a path towards a destination, good or evil. And when our hearts gaze upon evil, it's not long until our whole lives get entangled with it. They've learned that their greatest enemy lies within, in hearts prone to wander. So what can be done? Verse 5. Let a righteous man strike me. That is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. That is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it, for my prayer will still be against the deeds of the evildoers. Can you hear the humility in David's prayer? Let a righteous man strike me. That is a kindness. Remarkable. David sees the waywardness of his own heart. He needs someone forcibly to keep him from sin. Let him rebuke me. That's oil on my head. Now that's a strange image. Why does David compare a rebuke to oil on his head? Think back for a moment to when the prophet Samuel first anointed David as future king. Samuel poured oil on his head to set him apart to God, to empower him with the Holy Spirit for service. Here, David sees God using the rebuke of another in a similar way, to equip him for service and to set him apart to walk in God's ways. This makes me do some hard reflecting. Am I willing to see God working kindness in my life through a rebuke? Do I welcome a rebuke as a gift from God that keeps me from sin and empowers me to serve? Or do I live in an echo chamber of people who always agree with me? David says, my head will not refuse it, for my prayer will still be against the deeds of evildoers. David is determined to receive the rebuke. Why? Because God has called him to stand against evildoers, and it's very difficult to oppose evil without becoming evil or unleashing evil ourselves. Do you remember Abigail's rebuke of David in 1 Samuel 25? David was hungry, tired, and offended, ready to go on a bloodthirsty rampage because a foolish man had refused to feed him and his men. Courageously, Abigail had confronted David, warning him of his peril should he murder others to avenge himself. David was forever thankful. Verse 6. Their rulers will be thrown down from the cliffs, and the wicked will learn that my words were well spoken. They will say, as one plows and breaks up the earth, so our bones have been scattered at the mouth of the grave. David knows what happens to wicked rulers, and he does not want to become one of them. He is called to be a witness to God and to his ways. The only way the wicked can learn the truth is if David stays true to God and to his word. Verse 8. But my eyes are fixed on you, sovereign Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not give me over to death. Keep me safe from the traps set by evildoers, from the snares they have laid for me. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, while I pass by in safety. Like David, the returned exiles are making a decision. They will fix their gaze on Yahweh alone, trusting that if they will remain in him, there is safety. And it's this fixed gaze that will steady them through the tumultuous years ahead until the coming of Christ. Can you hear them singing? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.